This is the Fantasy Football Tank Podcast with Mark Denton, Wablo, and here's your host, Alfredo Brown.
And welcome in episode 2, week 7. That math is a little off. We're a little late to get into the season, but we're finally on a roll now. Working with our episodes, I'm Alfredo Brown, here with Mark Denton and Pablo Martinez. Pablo has a special guest here in studio. His lovely, lovely other half, Casey, is in here dropping dimes on us in our pre-show meeting, telling us all about why our picks are wrong. But, you know, at the beginning of each of these episodes, I just want to kind of give our listeners an idea of who we are. So we are just three regular guys that have been playing in a fantasy league together for years and years, various leagues and leagues with each other, where, you know, we kind of have always had this idea where we would just bounce stuff off each other. Who do you pick up in waivers? Who do you trade? Who do you start? Who do you sit? And, you know, that's where the name came from, the Fantasy Football Tank. It's a think tank of just the three of us kind of bouncing stuff off each other and kind of coming to our best conclusions that we can. And we've kind of always been a little bit weary of doing that with each other just because of the strategy portion of fantasy football. But now we can actually say this to other people. We've kind of put down our swords and we're giving our wealth of knowledge to the people. That's pretty much what this is going to be about. You know, we're not professionals. We're not reporters. We're not out there, you know, at training camps all the time. Maybe one day we'll get there. But for now, we're just three regular guys, the exact same questions as you, and we're coming up with good conclusions. Now, before we get into anything, let's throw it back to Thursday. Chiefs at Broncos. Kansas City wins that one easily, 30-6. That means Patrick Mahomes must have been MVP, right?
No. Yep. Chiefs defense, dude. It was sacks on sacks on sacks. Sacks touchdown, on sacks. All of it. So definitely Chiefs defense. But hey, I love Mahomes. So
yeah, I mean, unless you're my mom and you don't watch football, but for some reason you listen to this, you know Patrick Mahomes out. Looks like it's a dislocated kneecap. He wants to get a second opinion. There's been a lot of, you know, Twitter doctors out there trying to figure out what's going on with Patrick Mahomes. How long is he going to be out for? Is this for the season? But there's one thing that I can say with absolute certainty, and I don't need a doctor. The Madden curse is real. Antonio Brown, Patrick Mahomes, the only one who is impervious to it is the GOAT, Thomas Brady.
I mean, let's go back to the Pat Mahomes. I was at Flanagan's watching the game. As soon as that happened...
Are you at Flanagan's every week?
Just about.
Last week you said the same thing. You're like, I was at Flanagan's watching it. Everyone got upset.
That's my spot. So anyways, I was watching the game. As soon as that happened, Pat Mahomes, there was a giant gasp. Drink stopped. Music stopped. Everyone was praying. It was a very scary moment for a lot of fantasy owners.
I mean, you see, it's a very scary moment for anyone in Kansas City. Very scary moment for Tyreek Hill. Very scary moment for all those guys. We've seen what they have in Matt Moore, right? We're Dolphins fans. We're here in Miami. We've seen Matt Moore extensively. So we saw... Yeah, what happens there after that is, you know, Tyreek Hill, he has his three catches, 74 yards, a touchdown. I mean, we think he should remain consistent. He's just that talented that no matter who the quarterback is, he should be fine. Like, to me, that's the actual MVP of the game. Because there wasn't a lot of big numbers going on. There's a big score, but not a lot of big numbers, right? He should be consistent. We saw what happened with Kenny Stills when Matt Moore was the quarterback down here in Miami. He gets those deep balls. Now, LeSean McCoy is kind of the underlying story within all this because he was getting a lot of the touches. Damian Williams, not a big part of the offense anymore. He got some garbage time touches at the end of the game. You're looking at 11 touches overall for 6 yards. Awful, awful production. I think you definitely have a committee at this point. I don't know if there's anyone you can trust in Kansas City. So on the other end of that, you've got the Broncos, who you don't really know who you could start. They've got just a bad offense all around. Joe Flacco is just going to continue to kill that offense. The one guy who seems to be fine every week is Cortland Sutton. 6 catches on 8 targets, 87 yards, and he's almost always guaranteed a touchdown, even though he didn't get it this week. Now, that's a guy that I'm comfortable starting. I have him in one of my leagues. I'm comfortable starting him in a PPR, in non-PPR, whatever, every single week. The running back situation is much different. We're starting to see Royce Freeman is the guy that's getting the catches. He's getting the carries. But then the week before that, it was Phillip Lindsay. Like, you just don't know who's going to be getting the ball. I don't think there's any way to know what's going to be happening with that running back committee over there in Denver. So, guys, today we got for you the tank ranks, start, sit, and sleepers. All throughout every single position here in fantasy football. Then we've got Denton's dope DFS plays. He's going to be giving you his best bargains, favorite stack, and his top DST for the week.
The dudes.
Then we got socially acceptable. We are going to answer your trade questions, your start questions, all of your questions about your roster, who to pick up, stuff like that. You can always ask us any of those questions on social media. Go to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at the FF Tank. One more time, at the FF Tank. Go on there, send us a message, send us a tweet, slide into our DMs, whatever you want to do. But just go ahead, send us those messages, and we'll read it on air, give you our best answers, and we'll answer you there in the app. But first, let's shred it!
Shred it, bro!
All right. So guys, really right now, for our guys that we think are going to shred it, okay, my guy that I have first here is Josh Jacobs. I think he is going to kill it versus Green Bay, 29th against the run. I think that Green Bay is going to struggle on offense, having guys like Davante Adams out, just a whole bunch of injuries for that offense. And if Oakland gets any kind of lead, which granted, I know Oakland's not great, but if they get any kind of lead, they're going to run a lot against one of the worst run defenses. I think Josh Jacobs is going to get a lot of touches in this game, probably a goal line carry or two. Now, each of us see this a different way on the shred it. Pablo, who's your dude that's going to shred it?
Latavius Murray. So we've got Alvin Kamara out, as we recently
heard. You love
heard.
Latavius for yes, like no good reason.
Yes, I do. Well, you'll see why I love him. Mm. You'll see. You'll find out tomorrow. So Latavius Murray, obviously he's been splitting, taking the minor share of the touches in New Orleans. And now that Kamara's gone, he gets all of it. He gets his cake and he eats it too. He's already seen receiving work, so he'll get a few catches and I could easily
see him. What happens
when
the cake tastes like trash, though?
Those touchdowns will not taste like trash. Mm-hmm. So Latavius is going to get his 20 touches, maybe more. And he's going to eat. You'll see it, and you'll love him too.
I think Khalil Mack is going to absolutely just destroy him. He's going to eat Latavius Murray's cake.
We need to make some more bets.
Maybe. Denton, who you got for your shred it?
Ooh, I love T.Y. this week. He's at home, divisional opponent against Houston Texans, 28th against the pass. Yeah, he's coming back from injury, but previous games before that, the last three had nine targets every single game. I love the big play this week. Start T.Y.
I like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. Now, before we get into all the rest of our tank ranks, we're going to give you the injury updates from everything this week. Now, once again, we are doing this on a Saturday morning. We need you that if you're going to be looking at your lineups, see who's in, who's out. Okay, don't just listen to this and take it as the gospel. You've got to take a look at who is in and out on Sunday mornings when you're getting ready to set that lineup. Okay, so first one, looking at the guys that are in, Jalen Ramsey. I know it's not typically your fantasy player, but it affects the other fantasy players. Now that he's on the Rams, he'll be going up against the Falcons this week. He could possibly shadow Julio. We see this, that when corners go to new teams, they don't assimilate well to their new surroundings all the time. So it all depends on what they ask him to do. If they ask him, hey, just go man on Julio, shadow him around, that could be more advantageous for Jalen Ramsey. But if they ask him to play zones and try to work into the schemes, there might be some lost communication. Julio could end up breaking free for some big gainers. The other guys that are going to be in, Todd Gurley, Devin Singletary, Darren Waller was a little touch and go, but he's in. Michael Gallup also in. The guys that are going to be game time decisions, but leaning towards going to be in, Christian Kirk with the ankle, David Johnson with the ankle. All the Cardinals just have ankle problems. Dede Westbrook, shoulder. Amari Cooper has the quad contusion. And then Valdez-Scantling. He's got an ankle, a knee, all kinds of injuries. That's the only one that I'm a little nervous about. I don't think he's going to be in there. Then the guys that are out, Marquise Brown, Alvin Kamara. Pablo is excited.
Damn right.
Davante Adams, Malcolm Brown, Sterling Shepard, DeSean Jackson, Tyrell Williams, Chris Thompson, and Josh Gordon all ruled out for this weekend's matchups. Now, some other news to just take note of, guys. Nick Foles, they're talking about him coming back possibly within the next 1 to 2 weeks. I think that might be rushing a little bit. I think it's more likely he comes back after that week 10 bye. Does that affect the Jaguars to you in any positive or negative light here?
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're going to rush him back.
Do you think he even gets the job when he comes back?
Not sure. We'll see.
I mean, they gave him the money, but this is a young guy in Gardner Minshew that's given a lot of excitement. I think if we get another Minshew, crappy game like we did last week, then yeah, it's going to be easy to switch back. But yeah. I think if Minshew keeps having fun and slinging it out there, it's really hard to go against that.
Yep, agreed.
Now, the other guys you're looking at here, trade deadline is coming up for the NFL. Tyler Eifert has been the subject of trade talks. the big team that they're talking about making a move for him is the Saints. Now, if he goes to the Saints, do you have any interest in him? Obviously, at the Bengals, he's been but if he goes to the Saints, are we looking at a Jimmy Graham-esque type revival?
Yeah, definitely not. Obviously, Jared Cook is there, so he'd be splitting with him. And, you know, maybe when Drew Brees gets back, things will change. But right now, I just don't
see. Jared Cook is a guy that's been injured. And they're talking about, like, he may not even continue with the season. So, I mean, Denton, you're a guy, like, you've always been kind of high on Tyler Eifert. What do you think's happening here if he goes to the Saints?
I love Tyler Eifert, but going to the Saints, just keep an eye on him. I would say if the trade happens, maybe a waiver pickup, low end, but just definitely
it's a dark throw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long shot.
Yeah, right. And then the last one you're looking at here, possibly for trade news, is Kenyon Drake. We're Miami fans. We saw the game last week. He's being superseded by Mark Walton, of all people. Kalen Ballage basically doesn't exist anymore. I mean, Kenyon Drake is a prime trade target, someone that they've been talking about him going to the Buccaneers or any of the other teams that need running backs out there. What do you do with Kenyon Drake? That's something that we're teasing right now, teasing, because we're going to be bringing it up later. Now, let's get into our tank ranks.
I'm going to win.
Now, at QB, looking at, I mean, we always want to just kind of breeze past the top five, right? We don't want to get into too much obvious. So our top five, we've got Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Matt Ryan. Those five guys should be starting no matter what. There's no debate about that. Now, but let's look at our guys that you think are more likely to start. Denton, you are really high on this guy, Josh Allen. He's my number six rated quarterback going up against Miami. It's the 32nd ranked defense, passing defense. I mean, we've seen every quarterback just light them up. What's Josh Allen doing this weekend?
Oh, I love it. I think he's going to do really well. Not only that, but I think start all you can. Running backs, I like Frank Gore. I like the receivers. I think Josh Allen's really going to have a big game.
Now, the other guy who I have him ranked right underneath, number seven, Kyler Murray. He's another guy that can do it with his legs, do it in the air, going up against the Giants, who are 26th against the quarterback. Kyler has been consistent, very consistent, on the air, on the ground. Pablo, what do you see him doing this week against the Giants?
So, Kyler, you already know what you're going to get. He's been a great quarterback. He's a QB1. He's been a QB1 season long. When he plays against, you know, these bad teams, he's played against Atlanta. He's got three touchdowns last week. He had 300-something yards.
He takes advantage of the bad matchups. He doesn't just go out there and give you a pedestrian effort.
Exactly. So, Kyler, you know, he's solid pick. You got him. You start him. Unless you have one of the, you know,
smoke
top three guys. Yeah.
Yep. So I think my last guy here for the starts and the quarterbacks is, I haven't ranked quarterback number nine, King Jared Goffrey versus Atlanta. I think he gets a nice bounce back game here. You got Robert Woods is there. Brandon Cooks is there. Cooper Kupp, I have him as one of the, well, I'll get into that later because I love me some Cooper Kupp. But I think that Jared Goff absolutely comes out here and just dominates this week. I think I'll have a nice bounce back game, and that will make Pablo smile all over.
Yep.
Yep. So the guys that were telling you to sit, guys, it depends on the outlook. Once again, these ranks, right? It's all about the landscape, the outlook of your league, the outlook of your team, what you have and how it works for you. So if we say sit a guy, that doesn't mean, okay, well, I got to bench him. No, it means that we prefer others over them, right? And that they probably potentially have a tough matchup. So the guy that we have here first on our sit is Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford versus Minnesota. That's the 14th ranked pass defense going against quarterbacks. Not that Matt Stafford is bad, but if you have someone better, he's one of those guys that you can likely just go ahead and have him grab some pine for the week. Now, the other ones we're looking at here, Phillip Rivers versus Tennessee. Rivers has just had a string of a couple rough weeks here. Keenan Allen, not happy. I know Hunter Henry had a great game last week, but it's just a matter of, we don't know which Phillip Rivers we're going to get at this point. The Chargers just look all discombobulated with Melvin Gordon not playing well either. And then lastly, this one should come as no surprise. Sam Darnold. Yes, he played well last week, but you got to sit him going up against New England. I don't think you can start any. Is there any quarterback you can start against New England? Maybe Deshaun Watson, maybe Russell Wilson. And is that it? And like outside or a healthy Patrick Mahomes. But I think outside of that, there's not really anyone that you trust against New England. You're willing to stream whoever.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson can do it through the ground.
Okay, yeah, potentially, yeah. I mean, what I definitely see this week is, you know, we'll get into this now going into our running backs in a second, but I definitely think that New England is going to do their best to take away the top weapon from the Jets. And to me, that top weapon is Le'Veon Bell. And that's going to hurt Sam Darnold with those outlet passes there. But let's take a look at our streamer and deep sleeper for quarterback this week. A guy that you can just easily stream, should be available to you, or maybe you have him on your bench already, Jacoby Brissett. Nice sleeper. Denton, you really liked this guy when we were talking about him in the pre-show meeting. Jacoby Brissett versus Houston. It's a 24th ranked defense against quarterbacks. What do you see Jacoby doing this game?
Like I said, a great matchup. They're at home. This is a divisional game. They're playing for the division, and they're going to play hard. They're going to throw the ball. T.Y. is going to have to play, really step it up, and Brissett is a big part of that game.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that last game before the bye, Brissett had been consistent. He struggled a little bit against the Chiefs, you know, still got a rushing touchdown for you. But yeah, I definitely see him having himself a nice bounce back, very similar to Goff. I don't necessarily have him in the top 12.
The Colts need to win this game. This, like I said, divisional. The Texans are up one game, and they want to be
against
competitive.
A healthy T.Y. back.
Yep, Brissett needs the ball.
Yep, absolutely. And then we got Daniel Jones is our deep sleeper. I've even seen some websites have him up in their top 10 going into this week, just simply because of the matchup versus Arizona, who is 31st against quarterbacks. Pobs, what are you thinking?
And I don't blame them. I mean, Danny Dimes, you know what he's going to do against Arizona. They are probably, besides the Dolphins, the worst pass defense. Yeah, 31st. I see it in front of me here. 31st worst pass defense.
I hope you see it in front of you here.
Daniel Jones is going to do his thing. You know, he'll throw a few touchdowns. He's got Golden Tate in rhythm. And, you know, he's got Evan Engram back. And he's got Saquon back, most importantly. So, you know, they're gonna pick it back up, and they'll do well against Arizona.
So you think it's more likely that we get debut Daniel Jones from that awesome first game he had, as opposed to these last few weeks, where it's been the Patriots, it's been tough matchups, it's been no offensive weapons around him. Saquon back, Engram back. We should see a different Danny Dimes out there.
Yeah, so Danny Dimes, he scored two touchdowns, though, that debut week. So I don't expect two rushing touchdowns. I don't expect that again. I expect him to pass more, but he'll still do his thing.
All right, so let's take a look at some names. If you had to make this decision, right, these are maybe some lineup choices that you'd have to make for quarterbacks. Now, we're taking a look at Josh Allen or Kyler Murray, both guys that you probably didn't draft. Maybe you picked them up on waivers. If you have both of them in your lineup, who are you starting this week, Josh Allen or Kyler Murray?
I'm going Josh Allen. I like against the Miami Dolphins. It's the worst team in the league. You got to ride the wave.
Yeah, I'm with you, Denton. Josh Allen.
Yep. Okay, Jared Goff or Aaron Rodgers. I never thought that we'd actually have this conversation. Jared Goff or Aaron Rodgers. Goff's got the sweet matchup. Rodgers is Rodgers, and he's got a nice matchup too going against Oakland. But with all the injuries, what are we thinking here? We think that King Goffrey overtakes Rodgers.
Yeah, Jared Goff. You can't trust Aaron Rodgers right now. He's got
he's got to do it all by himself.
Yeah.
And even he admitted, he's like, yeah, I know my role in this team now. I'm the old man.
Yeah.
Like, Rodgers, I don't think even believes in himself anymore the way he used to. He used to be the cocky guy that could just sling it all over. And now even he says, like, yeah, I have a role. For Aaron Rodgers to say that he has a role, that is terrifying. Because he used to be the team, not the role guy.
Yeah, and his supporting cast doesn't help either. Jimmy Graham, he literally catches the ball and falls over. You've got MVS.
Or he doesn't
probably
catch the ball
play.
And he still falls over.
Yes, exactly. So you just can't trust that team right now.
Yeah, and then our last guys that we're looking up here in this matchup, Gardner Minshew or Jacoby Brissett. I have them both kind of on that fringe QB1 streamer guys for this week. Now, if we're talking Minshew, Brissett, they both have good matchups. Gardner Minshew is going up against, what seems to be one of your favorite teams, Denton, the Bengals. You know, what do you see them doing this week, Minshew or Brissett? Who are you taking?
I'm still winning Brissett, like I mentioned. I'm really high on T.Y.
Ooh, okay.
And I like Brissett this week. Like I said, they're at home, divisional matchup. I just really like the Colts this week.
All right, moving on, running backs. We got our top five. Once again, we're not going to spend too much time on this. Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley's back. David Johnson, if he plays, if he does end up sitting out, then you're looking at Chase Edmonds, maybe not as a top three running back, but Chase Edmonds is the guy to throw in there. Leonard Fournette, I think, is a nice top five option this week. And Zeke, it's just hard to bet against Zeke. So the guys that we're looking at here as our starts of the week, someone that we are very happy with. Pablo, you were high on this guy. Marlon Mack versus the Houston Texans. It kind of sounds like our whole table is just like all about the Colts this weekend going up against the Texans.
Yeah, Marlon Mack, he's... Last game, he had 29 carries, 132 yards. They've been involving him in the passing game, which was a knock on him before the season started. Yeah. He's, he's active in all phases of the offense. He's getting the carries. He's getting the catches. He's pacing. You know, he's the guy who the offense basically runs through. So Marlon Mack is going to do his thing versus Houston. They're 24th against the run. So Marlon Mack, start him. Nothing to worry about.
Definitely see that with Marlon Mack being a matter of game script, right? If the Colts can control that game with the run, it's going to change. And I think that's going to be their strategy going in, is control the game with the run, control the pace of the game. Because if you try to get into a shootout,
I don't think that Jacoby Brissett and T.Y. match up well against Deshaun Watson and D-Hop. Like, that's just not how it goes.
Don't forget my boy Fuller.
Sure. Yeah, that guy. And then, so I think that really the Colts are going to try to slow this game down. The only fear of mine is that if it gets out of hand, that you don't know what kind of performance you're going to be getting from these guys. Sorry, I'm getting calls. I'm very popular. So looking at our next running back that we have here for our starts, Devontae Freeman. I've got him as my RB, where is it? Whew. Devontae Freeman has my RB 10 this week going up against the Rams. He may not necessarily be getting the carries right up the middle, but the guy is getting catches. That's where he is involved. So especially in PPR leagues, Devontae Freeman, very valuable. This is not the same vaunted Rams defense it's been in the past, where you've been, you know, scared of Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue and all the defensive weapons that they had. It's just, it's not the same. And I think that with this game, you're going to see a decent amount of points going up. The Rams just have not been the same. Devontae Freeman should go out there, get a good amount of targets, and really be able to get some open space in the passing game.
He had 2 TDs in the last 2 games too.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, like, he's finding his groove. He had that slow start to the season, and now he's really getting going. Now, the guys that we're looking at sitting here, okay, once again, it's not necessarily like, they're terrible. It's that there are guys that we would prefer to start over them. First guy we're looking at here is Pablo's boy, David Montgomery, versus the New Orleans Saints. They are 6th against the running back.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not my boy.
That was a facetious boy.
Yeah, he's definitely not my boy. He's gotten 2 touchdowns on the year, and he's averaging well over 10 carries per game, yet he's still not giving us fantasy points. So how is that going to change versus New Orleans?
It's not. Now, the other guy I made an awesome Toshiba joke last week, Sony Michel. I don't see him performing well against the Jets. You got Rex Burkhead back. You've got James White still in the mix. The Jets defense, listen, for as bad as the Jets are, their run defense is one of their better things. They've got CJ Mosley manning the linebacker spot. You've got Leonard Williams. You've got Quinnen Williams. You got all the Williams guys down there. Big bodied players up in the front 7. They do actually a decent job of stopping the run. Where they lack is in their ability to stop pass catching backs and the pass overall. So I think that this is more of a James White, Rex Burkhead game than it is a Sony Michel game. You always still have that possibility. Sony falls into the end zone. But we saw what happened last game. Brandon Bolden, Vultures 1. Tom Brady, Vultures 2. You can't guarantee that. It's just not there for Sony. Now, this next guy, Old Man AP versus the 49ers. They are the number one run defense. Denton, we saw him just light up the Dolphins last week, but I don't think we're getting a repeat performance.
Yeah, I picked him for my DFS team, and he did amazing. This week, I don't like him. I know he's playing for bankruptcy, for child support. I know he's got to run hard, but this is going to be a tough matchup for him.
Yeah, with his bills, he may play until he's 60 years old. Now, our sleeper of the week is another old man. Another old man, Frank Gore. Pablo, tell us, Frank Gore going up against Miami, who's just been giving up yards to all these geriatric running backs. What are we seeing with Frank Gore this week?
Frank Gore, it's pretty obvious he's going to ball. The Bills are going to get ahead, and they're going to pound the ball with him. They obviously are getting Devin Singletary back, so that, you know, puts a little wrench in Gore's touches, but I fully suspect that they'll ease him in and that Gore will have plenty of touches against the Finns. He'll certainly have goal line opportunities. If you look at Frank Gore's carries, basically the whole season, it's always been double digit. He's getting last 4 weeks, 19, 14, 17, 14 carries. And, you know, he's doing his thing, nice and reliable week in and week out. And yep, that certainly won't change against Miami.
Yeah. Now let's take a look at some of these guys here for the running backs that if we were to put these guys up against one another in your lineup, now, hopefully you're not having to make this decision. And if you are, good for you. You got some good players in your teams. But rest of season, then, who would you rather have? Chris Carson, Todd Gurley?
Well, I know what Pablo's going to say, but Chris Carson against the Ravens has a good matchup. And he's riding the hot hand. I like Carson.
And you think rest of season, he's got a better value than Gurley as well?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I respectfully disagree. I'm not a Chris Carson guy. I think that he's going to compete
with... Maybe Chris Carson isn't a Pablo Martinez guy. Did you ever think of that?
Could be. So, yeah, you've got Rashad Penny there. I think that will start to...
What is with you and Rashad Penny? He's never done anything.
He has like 5 carries all season.
We got to get the all Pablo team of Rashad Penny, Latavius Murray, Will Fuller, the guys that you just absolutely adore for no reason.
Honestly, look, Chris Carson is a starting running back, and if you got him, you start him. But Todd Gurley, the upside is there. Like, I can't even put them in the same conversation.
Yeah, if he plays, he never plays.
Now our next guys, Marlon Mack, Devontae Freeman. This one to me is a little bit tougher. I think both guys have been producing well. Both guys contribute in their own different way, right? Mack is the one who's getting a lot of carries. Freeman is the one who's getting a lot of the catches. If you had to pick a guy rest of season, who are you taking?
Marlon Mack all day. That's, you know, he's already performed. He's reliable. You got him. You start him. You have nothing to worry about. With Devontae Freeman, you're still, you know, oh, what if he has a bad matchup? What if, you know, XYZ happens? There's a bunch of what ifs with Devontae versus Marlon Mack. You always trust him.
I hate to agree with Pablo, but I'm with him on this.
Thanks.
Then our other one here, Josh Jacobs, Jingleheimer Schmidt, or Joe Mixon. Dad, you have Joe Mixon. How do you feel about this?
Well, part of me still loves sort of Joe Mixon. I actually just went on Twitter right now. He took a picture with Ocho Cinco, and that motivates me to start him this week over Josh Jacobs.
Great, great, thoughtful analysis, just diving in deep into the Twitter picks. Now, this is a guy we talked about earlier. David Johnson has that injury, right? It's kind of off script here. We're going, David Johnson is this guy that, you know, almost every week it feels like he's got that injury. So if Chase Edmonds is in there, guys, going up against the Giants, we're pretty comfortable with Chase Edmonds. Do you see him as an RB1, RB2? Where do you see Chase Edmonds?
100% RB1. Chase Edmonds has been involved in the pass game, involved in the run game. Anytime that David Johnson is out, Chase Edmonds fills in admirably. The team leans on him, and he is doing his thing. So you should definitely trust him. If you got him, DJ doesn't play, start him. There's going to be a spot for him. At the very least, flex him.
Can I just say something? David Johnson is always questionable. Week one or even preseason, even offseason questionable. It's like, man, my wrist, man, my ankle, man, my knee. You know what? I'm going to play. It's frustrating as an owner that it's always the same thing every week.
You forgot his back this time.
Yeah. That was so lifelike. Yeah, it felt like David Johnson was in the room with us. Man, my back. Man, my ankle. That was pretty good. Yeah. Solid David Johnson impersonation.
Every David Johnson owner knows that feeling.
No, yeah, you sound just like him. That was great. So yeah, if Chase Edmonds plays, I think that I would actually put him just ahead of Le'Veon Bell. And to me, that would bump Le'Veon out of my RB1 category. I think if Chase Edmonds plays, it wouldn't bump him out because obviously take David Johnson out. But I think that I would put Chase Edmonds just a little bit above Le'Veon, keep Le'Veon at RB12, and put Chase Edmonds in at RB11, just kind of give everyone else a little bump up. That's how strongly we feel. If Chase Edmonds goes in there, you know, as Pablo likes to say, he's going to ball. Now moving on to our wide receivers, we got our top five. I am just in heaven this week. Cooper, my baby boy, Solo Cup. I've got him at number one for the wide receivers. I think that's just going to be a juicy matchup versus Atlanta. Then you got D-Hop at number two, Michael Thomas, three, Julio, number four. And then a guy that I just think is just consistent as all get out is Julian Edelman. He mitigates the risk every single week for you. Got a nice matchup against the Jets. Just don't see how it fails there with those top five. Now, the guys that you're looking at starting this week, personally, I think Tyler Lockett's got himself a good matchup. I think you might see him a lot in the slot this week, getting away from Marlon Humphrey, who's that nice big cover corner. I don't think that Humphrey has the speed to keep up with Lockett going deep. So for that, I think he might end up on DK Metcalf. Baltimore's been 22nd against receivers. Tyler Lockett has just been playing really well this season. He's seeing those targets now with no Will Disley. I think that's really going to let Tyler Lockett shine even more this week. The next receiver on here, Amari Cooper, if he is out, I think that this really, I mean, obviously, it really affects Michael Gallup in such a positive way that I would see Gallup as an easy top eight receiver this week if Amari Cooper is out, going up against that awful Philadelphia Eagles defense. Pablo, Amari Cooper being out, which right now all the signs point towards him playing, right? But the fear is that you get a Sammy Watkins or Amari Cooper from last week where he goes and he plays two plays and then he's out. How comfortable are you with Amari Cooper?
From a scale of 0 to 10, 0.
Can I go negative?
Who does 0 to 10? Everyone goes 1 to 10. Yeah. Who does 0?
I want to go negative on Amari Cooper. I don't like him at all this week.
Oh, man. So, yeah, there you go. Let's do negative instead.
All right, negative. That's fine.
There you go. So, Amari Cooper, negative points. He plays Sunday night. If you want to flex him, you can't even do that because you're going to miss the whole basically all the games.
It only works if you've got the roster on your team with someone else who maybe plays that night, or someone that plays on a Monday night that can take over that flex spot. But it's still like it's a very dangerous move to try to go with that.
Yeah, so do not trust him. Leave him out. Even if he plays, he'll be a decoy. And then, you know, you've got Michael Gallup in there. So Amari doesn't play, Michael Gallup's going to ball. Amari does play, Michael Gallup's going to ball.
Just
start balling, Michael Gallup.
All over. Just balls everywhere.
He's a baller. He had a season low receiving yardage last game, but you know he's going to get the targets.
I'm doubling down on Michael Gallup. Like, I think he is just, don't get worried about the one bad matchup. He is still going to play well. He still has great value the rest of this year. I think he is a low-end wide receiver one, not an RB one. That'd be a position change. And then our last guys here to start, the Rams receivers. Robert Woods, Brandon Cook. We already said Cooper Kupp, but I think that this is just everyone's going to eat in that Rams passing game.
Goff is going to spread the love.
Yeah, Goff is going to be spreading the love out there to all his loyal subjects. Atlanta's 29th against the receiver position. They're just awful against the quarterback. They're just terrible against the passing game in general. Woods, Cooks should be doing well this week.
Yeah, this reminds me of when Mahomes had all the passing options and they still all scored and did well. This is going to be one of those games for Jared Goff where basically everyone's going to feed off of this Atlanta matchup.
Now, the guys that you're less confident in this week that you're probably going to sit if you have the better option, Terry McLaurin, who is no longer wanting to be referred to as Scary Terry. Right now, it's just F1 McLaurin, but maybe a better nickname comes along the way. He's going up against San Francisco, who is fifth against wide receivers. I think that he would end up getting matched up with Richard Sherman. And that just that defense in general has just been so good with the pass rush that it just doesn't give the quarterbacks enough time to get McLaurin the ball deep anyways.
And Case Keenum's so bad. Like against the Dolphins, he was so bad. I can't imagine against the 49ers.
No, it's going to be awful. It's going to be scary, if you will. You see what I did there? Scary. Now, our next guy here, Alshon Jeffrey. He's going up against Dallas, who, listen, if he's paired off against Byron Jones, that's going to be a really rough matchup for him. Don't necessarily see this going the right way for the Eagles. I think it's a tough matchup. Even with all the injuries the Cowboys have, that defense is still, they're still good to go. And Byron Jones is going to be playing this game. So if he's going up against Alshon Jeffrey and they don't have to worry about anyone else, then yeah, I think that Alshon's going to get maybe kind of, I don't want to say blocked out from this game, but I think he's going to be neutralized pretty well. And lastly, I think it's just, this is a safe call here. Just sit all the Jets receivers. Don't be starting Robbie Anderson, Jameson Crowder. Robbie Anderson's another Pablo guy that goes in that team of just Pablo love. But going up against the New England Patriots, they're first against receivers. They just don't allow for anyone to get the catches. I already said they're going to neutralize Le'Veon Bell. I think they're going to neutralize everyone. I think this Jets offense is going to struggle. Now, our sleeper of the week for the wide receiver position, Denton, you got your boy.
Yeah, he's sleeping right now. But it's going to be DK Metcalf. I know Rick hates the
Donkey
pick.
Kong.
Yep. We made Drift a bet King. Earlier in the year. I love DK. Even with Will Disley out, there's going to be a major red zone target. He's going to do really well against the Ravens this week.
All right. So what you're banking on here as a sleeper is that he maybe doesn't necessarily have that high floor, but he's got a good ceiling because of that red zone potential.
Yeah, I can almost see 2 TDs this week from DK.
Ooh, that'd be sexy.
Calling
it. Send it. All right, now at the tight end position, it's I think it's pretty easy, especially with all the buys. You see that positions like this that are scarce to begin with get even a little bit scarier because of the fact that you got the bye weeks going on here. So your top five, you got Evan Engram, Mark Andrews, George Kittle, Austin Hooper, and Zach Ertz. That's just an easy top five, right? Now, the guy who just went off and I hate you and,
we'll see if Hunter Henry's doing well. Maybe he gets out there for a few plays, yeah?
Well, yeah, he got 2 touchdowns, okay? And you let me bench him. Because
and a hundo.
Stupid. I hate coach speak so much. It is incredibly frustrating. Hunter Henry got him at tight end number 6 this week, going up against the Tennessee Titans, who tend to do a lot better versus receivers than they do tight ends. Okay, they're 21st against the tight end. I expect Hunter Henry to continue to get his targets. The other guys to really take a look at here, Waller's another obvious one. I think that, yeah, he had his injury scare earlier in the week, but if he plays, you start him. Right. Our next guy here, Jimmy Graham. He has been underwhelming, right? Like you said, Pablo, he either catches the ball or doesn't catch the ball and just falls down.
Yep.
He's just been ugly. But with how bad the landscape is at tight end, I mean, are there many guys out there that you're starting over him? I know that you were a little peeved when we brought up Jimmy Graham as being a start for the tight end position. How do you feel about him? Is there anyone else that you'd be starting over him?
Jimmy Graham, yes, absolutely.
Who are you starting over him that we have lower in the ranks here?
Okay, so I'm certainly going to start Jason Witten over him.
Okay,
I'm
that's fair.
Yeah, I'll start Gerald Everett over him against Atlanta. You know,
you love Gerald Everett.
Hey, you love Gerald Everett.
I don't.
I think he's average, but
I think Gerald Everett's garbage.
What?
That's what we said last week.
No,
did you listen to the show? You didn't listen to the show, did you?
I guess I got
to
double.
You gave us a rating, but you didn't listen.
So
this is why you need to listen, Pablo.
My bad. Guys, please listen. Anyway, so Gerald Everett, I'd rather start. Obviously, Delanie Walker, I'd rather start. Even though Delanie Walker is, you know, he has not been performing, I think he'll certainly be more trustworthy than Jimmy Trash Graham. So yeah, I mean, I would even potentially start.
Pablo's so disinterested in Jimmy Graham. Obviously, I'd start every single one of these tight ends over Jimmy Graham.
He's just let me down. I had him in a few leagues, and he's let me down everywhere. So that's it. I'm heartbroken.
Yikes! All right, now in regards to the tight ends, with it being so bad, when we ask who you're gonna sit, you say nobody, right? Like if you have a tight end, you start them. Like you just let them go out there and do their thing. Now for a sleeper, Denton, this is a guy that you could potentially even be good for DFS. Now, Dawson Knox, Buffalo Bills tight end versus Miami. What are we thinking?
I like it. Like I said, Josh Allen's going to have a big game. He relies on the tight end. Dolphins are the team to go against if you start him. So make it happen.
Yep. Now let's take a look at some of these tight ends. Rest of the season here. Hunter Henry or Darren Waller? I actually have to make this choice in our league. I'll have to be going back and forth of who to start, maybe flex one of those guys, but who would you rather have rest of the season?
That's tough for me, but I'm going to go Waller just because the Oakland offense, they just gave him a contract like a couple days ago. They're committed to him.
Yep.
I think they're going to go Waller.
Yep, and I'm with you there, Waller. It's Hunter Henry. You don't know what you're going to get. Waller, you know for sure he's going to get probably the most targets on the team moving forward.
Now, listen, I just want to put this disclaimer out there. If you are getting trade offers with Hunter Henry in the mix, don't accept that trade just yet, okay? I don't care if I'm wrong about this, and Hunter Henry continues to just ball out for the rest of the season. If you're getting trade offers with Hunter Henry, don't accept it just yet, okay? That is someone cashing in on the great week from Hunter Henry. Listen, he's not getting you 2 touchdowns every week. He's not getting you all those catches every single week. He'll be consistent. He'll be good, but he's not going to be tight end number one good every single week, okay? Don't fall into that trap here, okay? I kind of tend to agree with the guys. I think that Henry and Waller are going to continue to be pretty even the rest of the season. Now, another one here that I might just trigger Pablo a little bit. Delanie Walker or Gerald Everett, who would you rather have rest of the season?
You're going to have to go with Delanie Walker. Delaney's got more upside. He's got the upside. He's got, you know, now he's got Tannehill, which obviously he likes throwing
Tannehill
to the tight
loves
end.
That tight end.
Yeah, so, yep.
He made sure Charles Clay a Pro Bowler. Like, that's a quarterback that loves the tight end.
Man. Yep.
So, yeah, not good. All right, so let's get into the waste management. These are the guys that you can go ahead and drop. If you have better talent on the waiver wire, you can go ahead and either drop these guys, bench them, whatever you got to do. But if there's something out there better, you got to manage your waste. Pablo, who are you guys this week?
All right, so this is going to trigger some people. But for starters...
Triggered!
So for starters, we've got...
That was such
this
a fake
a guy,
Pablo laugh.
this is a guy who I wouldn't drop him just yet. You've got to keep him on your bench for a couple weeks. See what happens with that backfield. Mahomes is gone, unfortunately.
Who's the guy? I'm waiting. I want to hear the name.
The guy is Damian Williams. Damian Williams, season started off. You trusted him to be a starting running back. However, you can't trust him you can't trust him there anymore. Now you've kind of got to hold him. You don't even trust him to flex at this point. So hold him on your bench. You probably won't get any good trade offers for him. But he is a drop candidate if you've got a really short bench. And you've got to pick up a better player, some of the players we've talked about, then I would consider dropping Damian Williams. However,
this
like
is
I
a
said,
guy that was, if he was in the waiver wire, you know, for your league a few weeks ago, like people went out there and spent big money on him.
Oh yeah.
Now here
rightfully
we are
2 weeks
later and we're just like, maybe you can just drop him again.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So Damian Williams, the first guy, keep him. Do not drop him right away unless you have better options.
Now your next guy, we talked about him a little bit here. Running back Kenyon Drake for the Miami Dolphins. We've seen that Mark Walton started to take over that position. What are we doing with Kenyon Drake, Pops?
Unfortunately, you can't drop him, and you could get some trade offers for him. There's, you know, the buzz has him as a trade candidate. I've gotten trade offers for him. He's certainly
the Dolphins can't even get trade offers for him. What are you saying?
That
who's going to give you anything for Kenyon Drake?
I'm telling you, I've gotten multiple trade offers for Kenyon
Drake.
Like a kicker.
They're nothing special, but the point is that
Latavius Murray,
you can add him as maybe as just a sweetener in a trade. You should not drop him yet. Wait to see what happens with the trade deadline. But certainly after next week, you're most likely going to end up dropping
him. Yeah, I mean, I actually kind of go along with you on that. If you have Kenyon Drake, if you can throw him into a deal, great. But if not, hold on to him because you never know. If he ends up in that Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense with what Bruce Arians can do with running backs, he's done with David Johnson receiving backs, and then that passing game just being on point how it is right now, Kenyon Drake could really see some good production later on in the year. That's one of those that going into the fantasy playoffs could really change things for your team.
I hope that's not the only option because that backfield has already got way too much going on, too many mouths to feed.
Well, the point is if you go out and you trade for another starting running back, you're not giving the ball to Peyton Barber anymore. You're not wasting time on Ronald Jones. You're giving that ball to Kenyon Drake because you go out and trade for him, right? You think?
Yes, but again, there's I just wouldn't trust the situation. I would rather trade Kenyon Drake than trust him in on the Bucks.
Gotcha. And your last guy here, this one hurt me a little bit in my heart because I have him on my team, and well, it made me sad.
So we're talking about Mr. Marvin Jones Jr. himself. He is now, you know, he's proven that he is a boom bust wide receiver without much boom potential. He is a guy who he's clearly well behind Kenny Golladay. Last season, they were, you know, 1A, 1B-ish. Now it's very clear that Marvin Jones is more. I view him as a mid-level, waiver wire level wide receiver who is not much more than a handcuff with a little upside who you can stream on occasion. So
but I don't think he's droppable. Like he's not a guy that you're just going to let go of, right? Unless there's something, there has to be something way better in your league.
Yeah, I don't.
In a 10-12 team league, are you really finding something better on the wide receiver position?
So it sounds like we have different philosophies on how we like to manage our bench. I like to have lottery tickets on my bench, not guys who you might start every once in a while. I'd rather have, you know, the handcuffs, the Pittsburgh defense that's going to play next week, those types of players that you know you can either get all or nothing from, as opposed to this player who you probably might start once.
Now, that's something important to consider, though, is everyone's management styles are going to be different. So as you're listening to this and you're thinking, okay, I would definitely not drop that guy, or yeah, I've already dropped that guy, just remember, everyone's got that different management style. So for example, I know with my bench, I want the guys, I'll take a few lottery tickets, right? But I'm going to hold on to the guys that I can maybe plug and play a few weeks because they're safe. They're easy plays. I can put them in there and maybe they'll get me 8, 9, 10 points, something like that. I'm not, you know, holding out hope for a waiver wire pickup that's going to get me, oh, good, he got me 25 or zero. You know, I think that we're definitely very different on that. Just judging by the guys that you like. Like, you love Robbie Anderson. I prefer Jamison Crowder. That's, you know, right.
Latavius Murray.
Yeah, Latavius Murray. And I'm, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you like those guys that are going to be big boomer bust. Whereas I definitely more of just stick with the safe guys. If you have him on your bench, you know he's going to produce. Like you said, even if he's just a handcuff for Kenny Golladay. If Kenny Golladay is down, Marvin Jones is the number one target in a pass-heavy offense. That I just think that he's too good to not have on your roster.
The handcuff conversation, we're in full agreement on. However, I would rather handcuff a running back.
All right, Denton, it is time for your dope DFS plays of the week. Denton, give us your DFS dude. This is your best bargain of the week on DraftKings.
The DFS dude of the week is going to be Alan Lazard.
Lazard.
Green Bay Packers wide receiver.
Is it Lazard or Lazard?
Might be Lizard.
The Lazard.
Lazard. But right now, Alan Lazard against the Raiders. You got cheap value there. You got Geronimo out.
Geronimo.
MVS probably out. Hasn't practiced all
week.
He's
got almost as many injuries as he has names at this point.
Yeah. It's almost like the David Johnson.
Yeah.
And then you got, obviously, Devontae Adams out. So right now, he might be your number one going to this week for $3,000 value.
Lazard.
I like the pick.
Great value.
Great value. Now, who is your Bombo Combo?
Bombo Combo.
Bombo Combo. We spoke about this earlier. It's going to be Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp. It is going to be pricey, but you're going to do it against the Falcons.
It's worth it. It's worth it. Cooper Kupp is basically a man amongst boys. I think he's going to absolutely destroy it out there. We talked about Jared Goff. I think that's a great stack. And lastly, who is your dope DST matchup for the week?
Saints against the Bears. Chase Daniels. Running game.
Great analysis.
Love the Saints defense. Only 2,900 value too, so it's pretty cheap.
Do we want to talk about last week's picks for DFS?
Let's do it.
Yeah? because that was pretty terrible. Sprinkle. Eagles defense?
Solid pick.
Solid, yeah, no, not at all.
Hey, these are all cheap values that have tons of upside.
Uh-huh, yeah, 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 tons of upside.
But that's the thing with DFS, right? That you're making risky picks, so that could totally, you know, these outcomes are totally possible.
I'll give you this. The Dak and Gallup one was, I think everyone thought that stack would work. But let's talk about your boy Jeremy Sprinkles.
We could talk about him. I mean, he got 4 points. Kelsey got six. What can you do?
In retrospect, it's not awful. It's not awful. It's a gutsy move by you. All right, so let's get into socially acceptable. This is where you guys get to send us your fantasy football questions on Twitter or Instagram at the FF Tank. You can even do it on Facebook. Guys, let's go to Twitter here at JoePick41 asking, do you trade Mark Ingram for Hunter Henry and Jordan Howard in a non-PPR league? So let me just go back into that. He has Mark Ingram, and he has been offered Hunter Henry and Jordan Howard for Ingram. Are you making that trade ever?
I'm sitting with Mark Ingram. Keep him. I like the Hunter Henry upside, but right now it's just uncertain just because of that one game. But I'd keep Ingram.
Yeah, same. Ingram is the better player in that group, and Hunter Henry is also, you know, he's still a gamble. He's a coin flip.
But I thought you liked coin flips and gambles.
I do. However, Mark Ingram is always going to, you know, be reliable as opposed to Hunter Henry, where he should be, but not at Mark Ingram's level. Listen, the running back position is more valuable as well, obviously.
I am of the mindset that if you are the person getting the best player in the trade, you have won the trade. So with this, Mark Ingram is definitely the best player in that trade. I think you're keeping a solid low-end RB1 here, maybe high-end RB2 in certain weeks, over Jordan Howard, who's just absolute trash, and then Hunter Henry, who you're not sure what you're going to actually have out of that tight end. This is what I talked about. Don't fall for the Hunter Henry trap just yet. I own him, and I would definitely love to pawn him off on someone in our league, but I know it would get vetoed because you guys don't let me do anything in our league.
Veto.
I know.
Honestly, I might not veto the trade just because you called Jordan Howard trash. I'm so proud.
It made you happy? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Next question we got on Instagram is, which trio would you rather have? Devontae Adams and the Niners running backs, Breida and Coleman, or Tyler Boyd with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, the Packers running backs. So let me repeat that. It's Packers receiver, Devontae Adams, and the Niners running backs, or Tyler Boyd for the Bengals with the Packers running backs, Jones and Williams.
Yeah, so these trios, the easiest way to evaluate them is just to split, you know, to split them up individually. And
so the running backs, who are you looking at that's better?
Right.
Niners or Packers?
You have Breida and Coleman, and you have Jones and Williams. I would say if they were individual, Breida and Coleman is the better, you know, in aggregate. But since they're on the same team.
Ooh, aggregate. That just gave us a few 5-star reviews right there. We're smarter now.
Hey, what can I say? So since they're on
you
the same
aggregate,
team, though,
that's what you can say.
They kind of cannibalize each other. And Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams have a similar, I know, cannibalize.
Yeah, I mean,
have
I didn't
a
say
similar dynamic.
That.
But Aaron Jones is obviously, you know,
don't pat yourself on the back. It's very unbecoming.
Okay. So Aaron Jones obviously is the strongest of the four running backs you see there. So I would argue that they're very comparable. But that Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams is slightly better. But then when you have Devontae Adams and Tyler Boyd, it's just a clear, obvious choice.
Yeah, Devontae is always the guy over Boyd.
Yeah, so because of that, I would stick with Devontae and the 49ers running backs. That's the better side of this trade.
All right, next thing that we've been asked here is, would you trade Miles Sanders for Jamison Crowder? And before you guys answer, I kind of want to give this disclaimer. Listen, guys, if you're going to ask the questions, we need to know the context in which the question is being asked. Is it a PPR or non-PPR? What's the landscape of your team look like? Is it three receivers? Is it two receivers? Do you have multiple flexes? What's going on? Do you have a handcuff? There's a lot of things that go into this, but without knowing the details, okay, I would have to kind of give the caveat of this. If it's a three wide receiver league or it's a PPR league, I'm going Jamison Crowder. I think he's got the better role in the Jets system. Sam Darnold clearly likes to throw him the ball. He's going to be getting those targets. Whereas Miles Sanders, it depends. If you're weak at running back and you need to have that handcuff guy, and maybe you're in a non-PPR league, then yeah, you keep Sanders. But to me, I think that I'd give my nod to Jamison Crowder one way or the other.
I'm going to disagree with you here because the way I see this is if you zoom out for a sec, right? Let's assume you don't have a need for either running back or receiver, and you're just going to flex one of these two guys, whether it's a PPR or a non-PPR. I would rather have Miles Sanders. One, because of the upside that he has, which obviously Jamison Crowder does as well. But he could be...
Yeah, I was going to say, like, even if it's a half-point PPR, right? If you're looking at the flex, Jamison Crowder, to me, is the better play every single time over Miles Sanders, no?
Right, but the running back position is much more scarce. So I would rather have a Miles Sanders, knowing that I'm going to get, you know, call it, you know, 8 to 10 fantasy points a game versus with Jamison Crowder, where you can get 2 to, you know, 16 fantasy points a game. But with Miles Sanders having that upside of, you know, that he could be a clear-cut starter in and out if anything changes.
So essentially, it's just the value of having Miles Sanders as that possible number one back. And with the running back landscape getting so scarce as the season goes on, you say that Sanders has the advantage there, where I say Crowder has the advantage. Denton, can you break the tie?
I'm going to go Sanders.
Oh, I hate you so much. Boom. Oh, I hate you.
I just think if anything happens to Jordan Howard, Sanders is going to be way higher.
I hate you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hate you. All right, last one here, looking at Kenyon Drake. This is the guy we've been talking about. We have said Kenyon Drake and trade at least 4 times in this league. So would you trade Kenyon Drake for Frank Gore and Sterling Shepard?
Right now I'm holding on to Drake. Like I said, he could be traded. You wanna keep the value in case he does go to a better team. Frank Gore would be a good start for this week, but right now, hold on to Drake.
Yeah, I think it's hard, man. This is like, which trash is better? You know, I think Kenyon Drake.
One man's trash.
Yeah.
Is another man's treasure.
I think Kenyon Drake has that trade treasure. Upside, but I really don't trust that, regardless of where he goes, that he will really be somebody I would ever feel good about starting. Versus Frank Gore, who we've already started plenty of times, I'm sure. And, you know, with Devin Singletary there, that it raises questions, but he could very well continue to be a startable running back. And Sterling Shepard, he's trash. Let's ignore him.
Awesome. Lots of trash everywhere. Continue to keep shredding it with us every week.
Shred it, bro!
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the FF Tank. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio app. That way you can listen to the podcast on 5 different platforms all at the same time. And be sure to share the show with your friends. Give us a rating. 5 stars, please, you know, maybe. And then for Mark Denton, Pablo Martinez, I'm Alfredo Brown. Until next week, we're out.
Ciao.